We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time for the Evening Show Clearwater Check-In.
Swung on, hit high and deep, right field, and that ball is gone!
Yes, it is that time of night, Clearwater Check-In. On the Evening Show, Joe Giglio with you as we check in on the Phils, who played their sixth game today of the Grapefruit League season. 1 month from today is opening day. Phillies will be in Miami against the Marlins, which I think is funny because the Phillies actually will not leave Florida. They have spring training, and then they're going to stay right down there because they go to Miami for opening day 1 month from today. A couple of things I want to get to here. We'll play some sound for Bryce Harper, some Jake Arrieta. Yesterday, they made their spring debuts. We'll talk about today's game, and we got to play something from Tom Verducci of MLB Network, because it is I think, the most amazing and eye-opening stat of the whole Astros cheating scandal thing that I hadn't heard until today, and it's outrageous, just considering the depth of what it really means. So we'll get to all that. Let's play Jake Arrieta first. So Jake yesterday had his first spring training start, and Arrieta's a guy that, look, we know his performance has been average for a very highly paid player. He's been banged up. He was out there yesterday. Forget the, you know, two or three runs he gave up. It doesn't really matter the performance this early in camp. But he's healthy. He feels good. And I did like this from Jake. You know, maybe a rejuvenated Jake Arrieta. Here was Jake yesterday after his outing in Clearwater on kind of the jitters he felt and the kind of the emotions he had on the mound for the first time this spring.
When you take the mound for the first time, it's like, you know, playing Little League. Like, it's that nervous energy, the butterflies. It's still there, whether it's a spring training game, on the main field, or even in a minor league game. You know, you're playing against an opponent. There's umpires, there's fans watching. It's a different feel, and it's really cool. I really embrace that I still have that, those emotions and those sensations, those physical sensations that, you know, just means you care and your heart's in the game, and that's. I think that's what most guys have.
It seems like a small thing, but that was encouraging for me because Jake Arrieta at times the last couple of years has looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but on the mound as a Philadelphia Philly. I don't think it's an anti-Philadelphia thing. I just think he has been down in the dumps. He obviously can't find his command, his control. His stuff isn't what it was a couple of years ago. I think that's a tough thing for pitchers to go through, the decline phase. And I don't project Arrieta to be great this season, but the idea that he's kind of has that passion again, maybe it's just because he's healthy and that brings it about, that makes me feel better about Jake Arrieta. So that was Jake after his first outing. Bryce Harper, a little bit of a different approach to kind of the opening emotions of spring training. It feels like Bryce this year is in a way different place. Last year he came in late. It was the pomp and circumstance. It was the press conference. It was all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of million dollars. This year it feels like he's happy to be settled in, and I don't think he's getting too high or low, and he's just kind of hanging out and getting himself ready for opening day. Here's Bryce Harper after his debut yesterday.
I don't want to get too high or anything like that. Just try to get out there and stay healthy and compete best I can, and then get into, you know, opening day. Of course, opening day, you get there and there's your jitters, and get excited for that.
Well, look, Bryce has been through this a lot. Bryce has played a lot of baseball in his very short life from all those travel teams when he was young. Like, if there's one guy I don't worry about pacing himself and getting himself ready for a grind of a season, it is Bryce Harper. And I will point to last year, and I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's part of why I believe Bryce Harper could have an even bigger and better second year as a Philadelphia Eagle, as Philadelphia Philly, than his first year, because he's comfortable, because he has a full spring training. It's not abbreviated like it was last year, a rushed spring training. And I remember last year, Bryce also got hit by a pitch on the foot. So he took a couple days off in his very abbreviated spring training. Anyway, this year, full spring training going at his pace. I expect Bryce to have a bigger second year as a Philly, and I could see him getting off to a very good start when March 26th rolls around. So that was Jake. That was Bryce yesterday. Hey, Zach Eflin through. Had a very crisp and easy first couple innings and really kind of continued the story we've been hearing a lot, that these pitchers under Brian Price are going to go back to doing what they do best. It's no longer attack the weakness of the hitter. It's do what you do best. And I think the one-size-fits-all scouting mentality and execution mentality didn't work for the Phillies. We saw that last year. I also do question if these guys are talented enough that their best is good enough. I appreciated the idea that Gabe Kapler and Chris Young had, where let's try to make these guys better. Let's extract the best of them by making them go after the weakness of the hitter. I thought there was some strategy to it, because on merit, Zach Eflin is not a great pitcher. On merit, Vince Velasquez is not a great pitcher. So can we make them better, a little bit better, by using what they have to go against the weakness of a hitter? It didn't work. This year, they're going back to what they want to do, and they're going back to their strengths, and it's kind of the opposite of where baseball is going. The high fastball and elevating pitches is where baseball is going to combat the launch angle. Phillies are going a little old school here, and I think it will be appreciated if it works. But I am skeptical that over the long haul, the way they're trying to do things here is the right way. I think it's fine for Zach Wheeler because his stuff is really good. I think it's fine for Aaron Nola because his stuff is really good, and he knows how to locate. I am less certain on a guy like Eflin who threw today. We'll see. I mean, he has to be precise if he's gonna be the pitcher he wants to be. That is his shot at being really good. And on Gene Segura, who Joe Girardi, if you've been paying attention, especially the split squad game, Girardi's been traveling wherever Segura is playing. It's like his pet project early in camp is to figure out, can Gene Segura play third base? And then I'd imagine he's going to move on to the other big aspects of this team, including the bullpen and the back of the rotation. But today I was encouraged by Segura at third base. Sunday I was not. I said it on Monday night. Today he was better. He had a backhand play that he made, and he made the turn pretty quickly to throw the ball to second base. He looks there. When the ball comes to him, I can't tell when it comes right at him. Even if it's hit hard, I can't tell he's not a third baseman. Now, there are the plays where the ball is moving to his left or his right, and he's got to attack or sit back. There's some hesitation there, but I've seen some improvement the last couple days, and I could see why Girardi thinks right now that he could play the position at a decent level. On a not-so-good note, Robert Stock, one of the just bevy of relievers they've brought in here, he is hurt. He has a forearm issue, and he's going to go for an MRI, so he might be hurt. I mean, they got him off of they claimed him from the Padres last year, throws 100 miles an hour. And a lot of the guys in this bullpen, a lot of projected pitchers here that they could have, I mean, they're hurting right now. I mean, a lot of these guys are not ready or not on time. Sir Anthony Dominguez hasn't thrown yet. Eniel De Los Santos, hamstring, hasn't thrown yet. Spencer Howard, load management, you know, saving his innings, he hasn't thrown yet. Tommy Hunter, forearm, he hasn't thrown yet. Hector Neris is behind, and he had the arbitration thing. He hasn't pitched an inning yet. Obviously, David Robertson. Today, we find out Robert Stock with the forearm. And Zach Wheeler, they're going to start him on Saturday. But a lot of pitchers, certainly some that will be on this team, some that could make this team, haven't thrown yet. So it does throw a lot of this thing in a flux as you try to figure out who's good and who's not with the bullpen and the pitching staff. All right, our final thing to throw in here for Clearwater check-in tonight. So we know the Astros scandals, you know, it rocked baseball. It was the biggest story in baseball this offseason. And there was a lot of stats that came out. I know Howard and I discussed a lot of those with the Astros at home in 2017 in the playoffs versus on the road and the advantage they really, truly may have had. But this one today, Tom Verducci, MLB Network, threw out a stat today that just completely blew me away about the 2017 World Series, Dodgers-Astros, Clayton Kershaw, you know, among the few greatest pitchers of his generation, probably the greatest pitcher of his generation, but still one of the top pitchers in baseball in 2017. He's had his postseason struggles, but he was hit hard in one of the games in Houston to the point where it looked like they were just taking batting practice off of an all-time great pitcher. Listen to this pull by Verducci. He went back and watched the game. This is Tom Verducci on the reality of what happened to Clayton Kershaw against the Astros in the 2017 World Series.
Now, looking back with the knowledge we have that, in fact, the Astros were using a sign-stealing scheme in the postseason, boy, deep in its soul, that's got to hurt to know that that game was not played on a level playing field. And it's interesting, when I went back and looked at this game, and again, you're looking at it in hindsight with more knowledge we have now than we had then. Kershaw threw 51 sliders and curveballs that day and got zero swings and misses on them.
Mercy.
I mean, that alone will make you start thinking that something was up.
That is one of the most incredible stats you'll ever hear. Clayton Kershaw gets swings and misses all the time. Those are his best pitchers. He has one of the greatest curveballs in the history of baseball. And in that game, he couldn't get anything going, anything at all, and he could not get a swing and miss. Just a remarkable, remarkable stat there about the Astros thing. And by the way, the Astros are getting plunked every game in spring training. I mean, it doesn't matter that it's an exhibition game. They're getting plunked left and right. So tomorrow, Phillies will play again, and a couple things that continue to stand out. I mentioned Segura at third base, and you know the way Joe framed it, it sounds like as long as Segura continues to progress here, as long as Gene Segura has good days and they keep piling on top of each other at third base, I think there's a chance here the Phillies don't even switch it around just to experiment, that they just kind of anoint at some point in the next few weeks Segura the third baseman and Kingery the second baseman and let it be. I think that it's pretty clear this is what the Phillies want to happen. And as long as it goes close enough to you know what they hope, like as long as it's good enough, I think they're going to leave it this way. And I think the competition here that we heard about, it may not happen. It's almost like if your first guess is right, you just stop guessing. And if their first guess on the way they want this infield to look turns out to be right, that they certainly could stop guessing. And that would be, you know, one thing off of Girardi's plate, one thing off of the decision-making plate, and they can move on to the fifth starter competition and move on to what I really think is going to be the most difficult of all of their decisions in spring training, and that is going to be the bullpen. Which eight guys to take, who's coming north, who's going back to the minor leagues, who has options, and who can they count on? Like, who can they sit there and say, okay, this is the guy, this is the guy, this is the guy? And we went over the roster projection in my first guest last week, and I'll tell you, it was pretty easy to come up with the infielders and the outfielders. I think there's going to be a fun competition between Neil Walker and Phil Gosselin and Josh Harrison and Logan Forsythe, and I've been impressed with Harrison so far. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's Forsythe and Harrison that make this team. But like that's small potatoes. What the real concern is the eight guys in the bullpen and who Joe will think when spring ends that he can actually and truly count on. Because there's not many that did it last year. You know, Adam Morgan will be there and Hector Neris will be there and Jose Alvarez will be there. But you start checking off the guys, and I mentioned Hunter hasn't thrown yet. Dominguez hasn't thrown yet. Stock is down. I have not been overly impressed with Bud Norris or Drew Storen or Anthony Swarzak. There's a lot of question marks. And I do think it would help the Phillies if they get third base settled, and then you could see Joe Girardi really in, let's say, the second, the last 60% or so of camp here, of spring training, really hone in on what is important. Who are the guys he sees? What's the stuff they have and how it will play when they get to the regular season? The bullpen is going to be a major decision for the Phillies as we get towards, you know, the second half or so of spring training. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you get in. We'll come back, your phone calls, and a process post-game show after another Sixers loss on the road, and this one is marred not just by a loss to an awful basketball team, but by an injury to Joel Embiid, who had to come out of this game tonight in what was a significant enough injury to remove him from a game the Sixers desperately needed their best player in. 888-729-9494, process postgame show, coming up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.